share life with you at some point, and we're not left in the dark. Okay. This is a piece I want to do from the Parat Yitzchak, which we've done different pieces. I guess an introduction. You know, Amalek is seen as the only incorrigible evil that exists. The fact is, every other Umos Olam have some tikkun. They will come round. There is no mitzvah, it's an avera, to kill anyone. There's the nations that live in Eretz Yisrael that needed to get out. It wasn't their place. But by and large, there is nothing. We stay the furthest away from bloodshed. Chaviv Adam Shiva B'Tselem. Amalek is unique. And that means that Amalek is seen as being something that has no tikkun. And therefore, it's of special significance to try and find some of those traits that are at the root of evil. Very, very hard at the end of the day to say if something is totally evil, then God made it that way. But it's important for us to try to pick out the elements, whether it's the techniques, the tactics, different elements about it making, about what makes Amalek so bad. The point of it is not so much to psych ourselves up to kill Amalek. We don't know what Amalek is, and maybe, and when the time comes, we'll know, and we won't need to psych ourselves up. But it's important because for our own understanding of ourselves and what's good and what needs to be redirected, what needs to be eliminated from our personality, obviously learning from the bad is as important as learning from the good. So trying to pick up something on Amalek is going to be very significant. And this is going to be an unusual aspect that we're not used to thinking of it as being the bad, the so terrible, and yet Chazal give us direction that this is very bad. I want to start with the second paragraph, Beis. And like always, I mean, also everybody has been here before, read a little, explain a little, read a little, try to, I just like to stick to some text so that there's, so that what I'm saying is grounded. Parashas Mechias Amalek Smuchi LeParashas VaYishma Yisrael. Mechias Amalek, the Parashas Mechias Amalek, is right at the end of Beshalach, and Yisro is right after that. That's clear. And Rashi brings the Chazal that Yisro came off that. He heard about how Amalek was defeated. He heard about Kriyas Yamsuf, and here he was coming to take part of it. So the Midrash uses a pasuk to explain the conjunction of these two events. And it goes as follows. Valze omru chachamim, leitz take upesi yarim. You hit the letz, and the fool will become wise. It's a pasuk in Mishle. Let's take hit the let's, and the fool will become wise. The pasuk, there are two problems here, just to give the literal translation. It means if you hit one, the other one becomes wise. Well, what is the meaning? There's an old Jewish story that a mother once, first day of class, told the teacher, listen, my child is very, very sensitive. So if he does bad, hit the kid next to him and he'll get the message. So let's take, and the pesi, and the pesi is yar. Also, the description, the pasuk, that's Chazal, when they applied these psukim in Drush, said the point that a pasuk fits this really well. So pesi yarim, Yisro is seen as the pesi, as the fool. We need to understand why is Yisro, or what's the fool in Yisro. But what interests us more is let's take, that you hit the let's. Now, one of the problems we have with this pasuk is because modern Hebrew, and even colloquial older Hebrew, doesn't always give us the right sense of the word. A let's today is a good-natured jokester. In Ivrit, the Leitzan is a clown. Very positive, nothing negative about a clown. Leitzan, let's, You know, it's at worst, it's kind of, he overdoes it a little bit. It's very hard to see that Letz is such a supreme evil, and Chazal say, wow, that fits Amalek perfectly. Where's Amalek's sense of humor? Like, Letz Taker. What's funny about Amalek? Very, very strange usage of the word. And the reason why we have the problem is because the word Letz is not correctly translated. The word Letz in Hebrew, and so in terms of Tanakh, it doesn't appear much in Tanakh except for Mishlei. It appears, I checked your computer, appears it twice in Shayot, in the same sense of the word. And not all Rishonim, some Rishonim learn it means Lashon Meletz, whatever. In Mishlei, it is quite often, Letz is appears. The right word for Letz would be cynicism, derision, things of that nature. That's really, the joking aspect of it is only really a part of it. It's like it's the flavor of it. But that's not a mashal. Chazal say there are four groups of people that are not zochot to see the Shechinah. So it says people who lie, people who tell Lashon Hara, the people who are chanofim, they ingratiate themselves with evil people, and litzanim. So it doesn't mean somebody who likes telling a joke. I don't know, but many times it's a very pleasant thing, and it's a positive thing to do. I'm even nichshel occasionally that, and it's, you know, maybe I shouldn't, but al kapanim, it's not seen as it's not bad. But the word leitzan, leitz, in the way Chazal use it, means a cynic, cynicism, and derision, stuff like that. Okay, now, kloma. So he explains the Chazal. So let's tak is Amalek. Amalek is this let's. Upesiyarim is Yisro. So the simple meaning of the way the Medrash says, HaKadosh Baruch Hu hit Amalek, and Yisro got some seichel and came running. So he explains, Rav Huda explains, Kloma, Ein mapoloso shel Amalek mo'elos ol Amalek atzmo. What it means is, the sense of the Medrash, that the hitting of Amalek doesn't help for him. Normally, when HaKadosh Baruch Hu punishes, when HaKadosh Baruch Hu strikes, HaKadosh Baruch Hu always wants you to change. The word Musar in Yisurim means disciplining. In other words, the pain is there to steer you to a positive direction. By Amalek, by the Letz, no. The it's only there to steer others. The Ein to Elos b'mapaloso rakli stakelbor. The only use for striking Amalek down is so that other people should learn a lesson. Why? It's, the pasuk is saying because he's a letz, he gets hit, and the use of that getting hit is only for the other. That's a letz is someone that you cannot give tochacha to. Tochacha does not work. But Tzarech Beer says, we need to explain this. What exactly is the late sonus in Amalek? Okay. In the next piece, in Gimel, which is a very, very significant piece, he's going to explain what Letzonus is and where it stems from. In what is a person trying to do with Letzonus? What is the opposite of Letzonus, and so on. So let's see this piece. This piece is, in a certain sense, the core of what he's saying. Behilchas Letzonus Shanu. It says, the Gemara says, Kol Letzinusa Asira Chutz Meletzinusa Barizara. You're not allowed to mock anything except for Avodah Zarah. Valibaru, he says, the het zesha letzonus. Next page, nemo hu b'chol parashas ra. So he says, it obviously doesn't mean Avodah Zarah only. Any, as a tool to wean you off things that are bad, it certainly is appropriate. The bevad emutas lozikum mashu shal ra. It is a very, very, it's a useful device of someone who's giving Musa to try and make fun of things that are unimportant, insignificant, bad, and so on. So it's not restricted only to Yitzhara. Vim kein, loman noktu chachom adugmat ezadavke chashavatzor. So why did Chazal pick Avodah Zarah as the paradigm of evil that should be knocked off with Litzaris? Why if a person has a problem with money and greed, and we can, and Litzaris can push that away, it's a device used very often, any type of drasha and tochacha. So why Avodah Zarah specifically? So he says the key to understanding this lies in Rabbeinu Yonah. Hamafteach le'inyaze nimtzu b'dvash Rabbeinu Yonah ala kosov. There's a pasuk in Mishlei that says like this. So on this pasuk, Rabbeinu Yonah is going to offer a novel explanation, which will include in it the basis for what he's trying to explain. It says in the pasuk, mitzarev le'kesef, there's a smith or an oven that purifies silver, v'kur le'zahav. Those are both a type of oven that gives out the product. In other words, when you have slag and you put it in the oven, what runs out is silver. So the oven is seen as extracting the silver from the ore. And the kur, the same thing, it's a type of oven for gold. V'ish lefi mehalalo. And a person is the good in a person is that which is praised. The simple meaning is as follows. It's not going to be the Rabbeinu Yonah's meaning, but the simple pshat in the pasuk is, when a person does a lot of things, the things that are good are what remain with people, and when they talk about him. When people talk about him, they'll try to say, oh, he did this good, that good. So the simple meaning of the pasuk is that the general sense of what it is that you've accomplished or who you are is that which is which brings out sort of people the sense of the community of the tzibur is to let the narishkeiten sit and to point out what's good. That's the pashtut. However, the lazebar Rabbeinu Yonah lahotzipir zeh umevaya, he has a whole different pshat. Vizel lishonosh Rabbeinu Yonah. Skip down one line. And in the quote quotation marks, im hu mishabeach hamaisim atovim v'chachomim v'tzadikim teida ubachanto ki ish toivu v'sheirish atzerek nimtzu boi v'goymen v'mitoch n'sheish b'yol avonus n'storim avu me'ove atzereku v'mishabeach maisim igunim halorishoyim v'roshagam. So Rabbeinu Yonah says an incredible point about evaluating a person's character. Imagine a person who does a lot of chesed. He's a very giving person. But the only thing he talks about is about wealth and the nice things he saw here, the nice things he saw there, and this person has that, the other thing. That's one person. Another person is wealthy and has nice things, but what he talks about is, this person is selfless, and I wish I could be like him and be so giving, and so on and so forth. That, what it is that you praise, is the mark of who you are. In other words, a person has one of the deepest kochos ha-nefesh in a person, is the ability to evaluate things, and to mark them as important, highly important, most important, versus trivial, unimportant, and so on. So if I'm to ask the mark of a person, and I see this person admires X, but so even though he does Y, so maybe he has a motive for doing Y, but it's really what it is that you admire so much, and that you feel is so chashuv, that's really the mark of a person. So so Rabbeinu Yonah tells us a new guide to understanding what the person is by what it is that the person marks as important and appreciates and so on and so forth. And that's what he says, if a person praises good things and wise things, then you know he's a good person. And a person who might have avarice, he might have avarice, but really he's good. He hasn't been able to follow through. But a person who is full of admiration for things that are bad or evil is a bad person. Yu'uyin Shem Heitel L'Shar Zoshim Minyon. Kloma. Im Boim Lahamid L'Mifchan. If we're going to test Es Ofyav Shalom Adam, a person's character, we're going to say Ika Shailed questions Tnuas Ha'isbatlo Shalom L'Echonote. So he adds a word here. He knows every person is in awe of something. Every person feels humbled by something. What am I humbled by? Hatnuas hisbata shel adam. This act of humbling novasi mikoach hakaras hachashivas. It comes from recognizing what's important. Debob midos shumakiv hachashivus is inyan. In the type of things that he appreciates and understands to be of value, tivolet bo tnuas shesbata shel adam. It creates a certain awe. He's in awe this person knows so much. He's in awe this person is so easy, so forgiving, so kind, and so on. So he says, V'ika shel mifchana adam hu koach hakaras hachashiva shelech nefol. So the main question testing a person is this question. And now he fleshes out a footnote. Yitochon shel lefaneinu shnei bin adam. You have two people in front of us. Ha'echad osek b'torah b'shkida basmada. One is sitting and learning Torah with really diligently. Vasheni ena b'chal gedez ashaz b'torah. And the second one is not a person who can learn all the time. Aval umase meitzim on its arishin nuishes batlos b'shechsev asher gadol. The first person is so diligent in studying, but when somebody very wealthy comes, he feels he's kind of feels humbled. And ve'ilu b'shosh shenichas elav tamid chacham, but when tamid chacham comes, einu zos mekoymen, it doesn't really affect him. Ula umase, on the other hand, moitzim onu etz asheni, you find the second person, shebe'shosh shenifgash im tamid chacham, when he meets a tamid chacham, mishtalet bo yachas shel chashivas hispatlus. He has a yachas of chashivas and hispatlus. Rav Futner was very sharp with it. He also had he had ways in which he expressed it. And someone came to him who was struggling between learning sort of full-time, kol and so on, or trying to look for a job. And Rav Hutna felt that the right thing for this person was to find a job, for many reasons. And Rav Hutna was of that mind. He had different people he felt he would sort of place them and so on. And he told him, better you should spend your life in a career wishing you had been sitting and learning than spending your life sitting and learning and wishing you had a career. Because the difference is the person is what the person wishes he were, what it is that the person is in awe and appreciation of. So he says, "Bekegoin za amol rabbi yoyna, ki afal pisha b'shkides halimut, matzav shirishna b'yisa gevoy masheni." Rabbi Yonah is enlightening us that in this person's, even though the first person is studying a lot more diligent than the second person, mikol makom harishon hu harbe yoyse rochot min haTorah me'asher sheni esh ish tefi mehalik. But in terms of closeness to Torah or distance, it's a different world. The person who wishes and is in awe of a Talmud Chacham and understands the Chashivas Talmud Chacham is in a sense much closer to being a Talmud Chacham in terms of who he is, than the person who is in awe of people that have power or money, whatever it is. Umotzi hadava arhin, he says it actually. Whoa, I didn't know that I forgot that he said it in this point. Umotzi hadava lira shnei anoshe amdim b'em tzachayim. You sometimes see two people in midlife. Everyone's got their midlife crisis, I guess. Ha'echad mehem higdash shnei sterob l'teira. The first one studied. Vashen is asik v'shnei sterob v'nyani aylam. And the other one had actually, he was in business or whatever, a career. And now in midlife, it's the opposite. The first one regrets that he never was able to build up a career or whatever. And the second one regrets he never could be able to learn. So he said in some ways, the second one is much closer to it. So the first point he says is the koach of hilul, he calls it. What it is that you praise, what is that you hold in esteem, what is that you value, is what's important. This, by the way, is the inyan of Kavod HaTorah. The whole concept of Kavod HaTorah is not to please the person that he gets kavod. If he is pleased by the kavod, then he doesn't deserve it, actually. So that's not the matar of it. Say, if a Torah doesn't... But it's a question of what value do we place on it? The externalities of kavod is to give that sense of chshivas and what it is. Okay, that is one part of it. Now he says, Dalet. It's a bit cut off on the side, but it's not. It's almost everything's in. Till now we spoke with two people that have a sense of there's chashivas in the world. There are things that are important, significant, good, and it's a question of what it is. Avol, ha'emes hi, ki b'mifchaz ha'shishif me'haloi, nichlelas hi shelo mukdemes she'es halav. There's a peace in a person that actually is a step before this. Koleinu lo das, she'lekoach ze she'lakoros ha'chashivus, nimtso b'nefesh hi snagdus gedolo. Yesh bo b'nafsho shel odom netiyah harifa lezilzel. So he says like this. Just like we explained that really what makes a person what the sense of value, the sense of value of something is really what makes a person strive. It might be for things that are really worthwhile, it might be for things that are ephemeral or insignificant. But a person, for every koach ha-nefesh that we have, that's positive, we have an opposite koach ha-nefesh. And it's a koach ha-nefesh that makes light of everything. Things are not significant, things are not important. It's sort of a nihilist type of attitude in terms of chshivas. Nothing's important, not significant, it's nonsense, it's shtusim, and so on and so forth. Nimtzu b'nefesh mehalach shein eroi tzilus vol shum chshivas. The person doesn't want anything chashiv. Shmo shel hakoach hazeh. The name of that personality trait, of that force in a person, amisparetz bechazaka lafkias asmiyah shel chashivus ulitzonis. Cynicism is the knocking of the value of something. Let's take even humor. There's a sort of affiliation of it. It is things shows and things that are humorous like to knock things. The Keystone Cops are funny because they're cops. If they would be nebs of some sort, it wouldn't be so funny. But they're chashiv, they're cops, and yet they're totally incompetent. Mocking somebody important is a lot more satisfying than someone unimportant. The koach of litzanus is the desire to, it's the ability and the desire to nak shibus at all. And if you think about it, let's take three people. One person has ambitions for good things, for right things. One person has ambitions for things that are not significant. And one person is apathetic. Which of these three, in a certain sense, are the worst off? It's the apathetic person, because he doesn't think there's anything in life worth attaining. Now, many times it is, being that I feel I can't attain it, I therefore make fun of it. In other words, most of the time, many times, it's an outgrowth of a person's, sour grapes. If I'm not good at it, then it's worthless, then it's useless, then it's stupid, and it's silly. And the way to bring it out is by mocking it and making fun of it. So he says like this. Midas ha-litzonis ha-atzmis kvishin nintzis nefesh rasha. The midah of litzonis as perceived in the person's nefesh, in yonahu limtzeis ha-pirtza b'chol binyan shal shivas, unless it's got binyan. we find a huge facade of chashivas. Look at this person, so chashivas and that. I need to find the Achilles heel of where I can tag the tail or the donkey's ears on it, and then I destroy the whole thing. Find that Achilles heel where I mock it. The koach of hilul, of appreciation, of finding worth, of valuing, it looks to find what is it that's worth, and litzanis is the ability to destroy value and to make light of value. V'nimtza, k'amivchen hazeh she'ishifim haloi, mispashetu bein shtei nekudos misuyomis. So this koach has two junctions that are very significant. The first one is between koach hahil koach litzanis. Shall I choose to find value? And that means it's a burden on me. If things are worth it, even if money is a value, I'm going to have to work hard to attain it. But if I don't want the burden, I'd rather just kind of live like a hobo and fish and kind of not be motivated to anything. What Rabbi Yonah talks about is a second stage. Now that I value things, what is it that I'm valuing, and so on. So now he's going to explain why Litzanis has a place. Everything that Kadosh Baruch Hu gave us has a certain place in the Bria. Vehine, im namid lefaneis ha-shayla ma mokam ha-shbahim tzadus hirusei tzadashak years ago. Where has the falsest value been placed on something of least value? What is the biggest sheker in terms of chshivas? B'lisafik sha-tshuva zeh tehei avodas alilim. That's going to be Avodah Zarah. There is nothing in terms psychologically that's meant to be more awe-inspiring than religion, worship, and Avodah Zarah is used that to create an aura of chashivas for a thing that is worthless. But even it's a adam obedes elul kor hahilul. The person who's an Ovid Avodah Zarah, yes, he's looking for things, but the things that he's looking for are sheker. Shekol atzot shavoyda ena vitzil shal chilul. Aval koach hachilul poil kan b'shetach shal hefech ha'emes. V'nimtza, next page, Avodah Zarah hi piskas koach hilul v'ra. So koach hachilul of ra finds its expression in Avodah Zarah. Nobody, when you follow your taivas, you don't feel a need to be machshavim. You don't feel a need to praise and value. You do it because you like it, you enjoy it. And that's all there is to it. But Avodah Zarah is a sheker that's sold through the aura it creates and so on and so forth. V'zehu pesha dava shebeheta letzonis notu chacham leduk mechezas Avodah Zarah dafke. So now we understand why when Chazal said, where is Litzanis important? Litzanis is important in Avodah Zarah. It's important, I guess, let's digress a moment, or maybe not digress, but let's apply it a moment. In terms of chinuch, in terms of teaching our children values, teaching them values, there are certain things that come with values, dressed up in values, that really don't deserve the values. That it may be good, it may be bad, and arguing about it is not always the best way. It's if a person is a demagogue, if a person preaches all sorts of absurdities, all sorts of crazy things, let's say somebody Nazi-like or something like that, arguing might be counterproductive. Because in every argument, there is a sense of this is a shita, this is a shita. Litzanis is a valuable tool for diffusing it by showing it in its nakedness, so to speak. By showing a nasty joke is a cop out for an argument that deserves an answer, and it's the right approach for something that doesn't deserve to be argued about. Someone's told me, and again, it's not the thing itself, but the Avodah Zarah, Shabbat that's bad. He was in Lakewood in the first group, and it was all Americans, and it was a big transition, at least besides the learning, but the mindset of an American becoming a yeshiva person. It's a very different mindset. Certainly the European yeshiva person, Kletsk, it was a whole new... So he told me he remembered when Babe Ruth died. So the Mashgiach, Reb Nosson, got up and he said a hesped. And he said, Boisai, woe unto us. A man passed away who could take a stick and whack a ball. How is the world going to survive without that? We're really at a loss now. And, if it's a type of thing where, baseball is fine and playing ball is good, and I'm sure Babe Ruth wasn't a bad person. But, that versus making it to religion, but the point of it is cynicism has its place when value has been placed on something that should not have value. That's where it comes in. Okay, hey, the Piska Kodemes, so he said, we explained before, we spoke about Litzanus of Avodah Zarah and so on. Omnum, Oleinu Lodas, Ki Hevtul Godli Yesh Beshoshkos HaNefesh Ngarach Litzanus Tzaratov, V'Gerach Litzanus Pistama. There's a big difference, though, between... They're not both the same. It's the cynicism of something coming to destroy something that's good, and something that is coming to push away something that is bad, even though they're the same tool, the same language, the same tricks, so to speak, and devices, but they're very different in where they're coming from. Hinen is ba'alonu, ki gidra shal etzonis hu arisas bin achshivas, uvadai shagdor zunahegesi b'choloi fosh shal etzonis. The technique, the tactic, is the same description. The homokom poel letzanes lamtizulzul. Al shemikomokom hevdol god yesh beshorish. Bein letzanes stam beletzanes aratov. The hamtzoras azilzul shabestam letzanes. Atzmiyusa hi amin b'musach shivus b'rechmus azilzul. The guy who sits in the corner and sort of makes snide remarks about everything and everybody and anything, he really wants to destroy any sense of chashivas. He doesn't want it. And sometimes it's because the person, many times because the person himself doesn't want to be obligated to do things, and he knows that if he puts down certain things as being worthy, he'll be obligated. And he knows if so-and-so and so-and-so and so-and-so does this, and so-and-so does this, he should have to do it. So he finds it convenient and comfortable to take pot shots. The person himself doesn't like the fact that other people are doing better. He's not good at it. Many, many reasons why he's copping out. But that's a destructive person. He's a let's be'etzim. His personality is to destroy anything of value. The person who's using Litzanis Favorizer, like he says, it's a tactic. What I'm trying to do is know there are things in life that are very valuable. Don't mistake that for this. That's not the same thing. I start with a very positive outlook in life. Yes, there are things, life has very important parts to it. Don't waste it on shtusim. And I will show you that this is a shtus. But it's not that the person is an internally destructive person. The person is it's like in halacha, in Hilchos Shabbos, there's something called horis amnas livnos. If you raise a building on Shabbos, you're not chayiv midoraisa. If you raise a building in order to build a building on it, then you're chayiv for the raising the building also. Because the raising of that building, it's true, there's a whole series of halachas like that. There's mochik amnas lichtov, and there's korei amnas litfar, and so on. Destructive activity in itself is pater on Shabbos. Destructive activity where it's clearing the ground for something constructive is something good. So he says, Litzunus estam atzos zilzul shem riba zilzul. Av litzunus avarazura, hi amtzos zilzul shem riba chshivas baolam. Okay. I'm going to finish the rest of it outside a little bit. It's sort of getting late, and I want to sort of bring it. I'm going to follow loosely what he says, but I'm going to put it over in other language. If we take a look at a pesi, is a fool of a very special type of fool. It's a fool who is non-discriminating. It says pesi yam in l'chol dover. A pesi is someone who believes everything. He has no critical faculties. He absorbs everything. Has no filters to exclude things. Yisro worshipped every single god, it says. So it shows a certain lack of critical faculties. He couldn't a priori eliminate any type of avodah zarah. So that's the pesi. Amalek, of all the nations that are mentioned in Tanakh, almost every single nation that I could think of had its avodah zarah. Everyone comes with avodah zarah, whether it's Baal, whether it's Dagon, whether it's Tleh, whether it's the Yor. Avodah zarah in those days was part and parcel of every culture. Avodah zarah did not stop until the end of Bayis Sheni, kind of the end of Bayis Rishon, Greek rationalists and so on. Even they were sort of half for avodah zarah, but that was pretty much the end of that. But avodah zarah was part of every nation. The only nation that we don't find any mention of avodah zarah is Amalek. There's nothing there. The only thing we find about them is that they knocked God. Every other nation was happy. They weren't anti God. They weren't anti Hashem. They were pro their own avodah zarah. Everyone's got his thing and so on. They used to, when I was in the late 70s, everybody has probably followed politics and so on. Begin was in power in Eretz Yisrael, and he was right wing, obviously, and very, very positive feelings toward Torah, Judaism. He was a traditional Jew. We'd call him very, very, very positive person, and always. The Sicha Noi, he really, really was somebody who spoke very well of it and believed it. There was a left wing woman, Shulamit Aloni, who was very anti-religious and anti-right wing, and she was a very sharp speaker and very vocal and so on. She was the left and so on. Somebody once said that Shulamit Aloni hates the Jews because they belong to God, and Begin likes God because he belongs to the Jews. And there was something about, you know, it's like all cute sayings, but there was Amalek. Every other nation, if they didn't care about Hashem, they cared about their own God. And, you know, they needed the job market for being God is tight, so they needed their God, not the Jews' God. Amalek was just against. And he wasn't taking anything from the Jews. There was nothing there. They had no land, possessions. They were coming just, they said, there is this big myth about Jews. And that they're invincible, that they're God's people, that it's unnatural. We don't care if we get destroyed as long as we destroy that myth. So Amalek was destruction in itself. Amalek was pure destruction, and that's all. It was just an anti-movement. So Amalek was the letz taker, the letz who needed to be crushed. And the only thing that comes out from it, the only thing positive is that a Yisro, who's looking for the truth, but he's not sure of where it is, gets the message. But for Amalek, it's incorrigible. He explains, and he makes a point in what he's saying that's it really goes to the heart of it. Why is it that tochacha doesn't work on the letz? And he says the letz himself is the purpose of letz. Every tochacha is where I try to explain to you how important it is. If I turn to so and so and I say, you walk by Mr. Yaakov every day, you don't say hello, you ignore him, do you know what he feels like, and so on and so forth. So this conversation is meaningful Only when we can assume that you believe in Tzelem Elokim and the Cheshiva is a person feeling good and so on and so forth. The point was you didn't realize you ignore Yankel. You didn't know how bad he feels when you ignore him. The tochacha is to show you and enlighten you on that piece. But if you don't care, if you don't share those values with me, then what's the talking? What's if Musa is only to say, do you want to be a good person? Do you want to umhaba? Do you want to be a Torah person? I need to have something of value and show you by association that this is part of it. But a person who is totally eaten up with it, it's not going anyplace. It's true in a lighter form. People that are always joking, you know, they're always joking in the sense they're making light of everything. Many times it comes part of that piece, and it helps remove and it distance anyone getting close to you. It's a way to keep people away from you so that nobody bothers you about the things you should be bothered about. I want to sort of take 2 points out of this that I think are relevant points and that are two directions that I think are very important. First of all, and in both ends of it, I think, when we speak about the good side of it, in other words, understanding that if we knock something, and if we say something, if we make fun of something, in a certain sense, we have made it useless to ever get anything out of it. And it's an important thing, whether it's a person, authority, whether it's an idea, whether anything chashuv, there are criticisms, and valid criticisms. A criticism, a sharp criticism face-to-face to a person is by far better than an offhanded joke about him on the side. Because a criticism, a person might be upset, might be angry, might be more bekovetic, not bekovetic, but at the end of the day, it's to the point. When you find a way to make fun of someone, then in a certain way you've reduced his ability to be effective in any way whatsoever. In the Mir on Purim was kind of a very dull place. The Mir was all about learning, and anyone who was serious learned, found time to learn on Purim also. Okay, there was, at night, I think there was a band and some drinking, but it was very not, there was nothing, no Purim spills, nothing. There was not in the Mir agenda. 1 year, Bochum got together and they made a Purim spiel. And it was actually quite good. It was actually very, very good. And one person, who was especially talented, imitated all the Rosh Hashivas. And it was phenomenal. It was phenomenal in terms of content, in terms of presentation, and the minute was we went to each Rosh Hashiva for a Masibas Purim, and at Reb Chaim Shlomitz's house, this person imitated Reb Chaim's Musa Shmuz and did a very, very good job of it. Reb Chaim was very moved by it. And he spoke and he said, in the street, when people get drunk, they kill, they fight, they yell, they scream, they become obnoxious. A yeshiva bachur gets high and he imitates a shir, a shmuz, a snap. And that was, so Reb Chaim was very moved. The next week, the Musa Shmuz is not like that. And he said, I realized, he said, how many weeks was he sober and he was standing and imitating me? And Reb Chaim said, it takes one cute motion and then you can't relate to that anymore. And that's why it's very, very, it's important to understand how destructive it is. Children do not take well at all to cynicism, because cynicism hurts them down deep on their self-esteem. Basically, you stop valuing as a person. And it's very, adults are kind of immune to it, and we sort of make kind of offhand remarks. And an adult even understands it as an adult, and it's not a problem. And it's in place. It's not, the type of banter that two friends would have. With a child, when you criticize a point, even when you give a patch for a certain point, not advocate, but I'm trying to explain. So, you did this wrong, this deserves a patch of that. But when you make fun of a child, you destroy him in a certain sense. And it's something very, very important to understand the koach of cynicism. Cynicism is the most destructive thing we have. Because a patch can break a jewel, but it can't break a nefesh of a person. Making fun of someone destroys a person. And it's terrible when it's one person. But when you're talking about an institution, when you're talking about anything of more public significance, it becomes a real problem. And certainly a person who finds himself that everything is Echep is everything, then it's then he has a problem. He has a real problem in a very deep way because he's not going to strive for anything. The second side is there are things that it's important not to give it its chashivas. There's a letz on one side who is really incorrigible, and that's a malik, and he's a cynic because there's nothing that he has regard for or respect for, and therefore he'll never go anyplace. But the flip side of it is a person who's a fool and absorbs everything. It's important to understand the giving of kavod to something that is not deserving of kavod one needs to ask himself, what is the message that I'm presenting over here? What is it that if I speak in hushed and admiring tones of somebody who has money, what's the message? Where am I going with that? That's something that's Akadosh Baruch Hu gave litzanes for that. I have a sort of a feeling. It's true about a person's own ego and kavod. There's a famous commentary in Shas. For those of you who learned regularly, you probably heard of the Rashash, Rav Strashun. He was a very, very, very big Talmud Chacham, the 19th century, and very well-to-do person also in Vilna. He had a son, Rav Matisrael Strashun, who was a little bit less known. Rav Matisrael Strashun was, besides being very Talmud Chacham, was a very big scholar. And he had he was very wealthy also. You know, he had his father's wealth. And he was made Rosh HaKehillah of Vilna. The true story, it's printed in the beginning, and they've collected stuff of his. He was a brilliant scholar. He was wrote many little all sorts of scholarly things and so on. He was head of the Vilna, he was the Vilna Parnas, he was the Rosh HaKehillah of Vilna. And in Vilna, they had a minhag that on Simchas Torah night, they would bring the Rosh HaKol to the shul with a great parade. They would put him on a special, like a big fur that was very valuable, and a big fur hat, and they would walk with torches, with a big chuppah. It had a lot of aftertaste of chanufa to it, and he really despised it, and he asked them to please not do it. And they said, no, it's a tradition, and people become very big enough for traditions, and what do you mean, and with this villain, is that, and he couldn't get them to stop it. Fine, so the second year came, they took him from his house, big parade, everybody's hooraying, they get to they walk into the shul, it was dark in the street, and he takes off the coat, and they saw it was the town drunk. He had taken the town drunk and substituted for himself, and the Yechiyah Melech that had been saying all along was for the guy rolling the gut. The town rocked with laughter, and the minute came to an end. That was but that was the only way you could do it. A person about himself, self-deprecating humor, has tremendous value in most of the time when we take ourselves seriously, it's for less than the right reasons. It's a lot of times because it's not because HaKadosh Baruch Hu expects from me and wants from me and I'm a Tzel Melekim. It's because everyone has a sense of self and sense of ego. Arguments are a slow battle. Humor is a good battle. And many things that are oppressive and difficult, when you lighten it with humor, it's because you take away the chshivas of it. In Purim, I think a lot of times the lightedness of self, the way people are light, has in itself, I think, a flip value of a certain tzinus avodazar. At the end of the day, our biggest avodazar is ourselves. In fact, when a person drinks and he's kind of less mechobedik, less constrained by himself. There's a value in lighting that also. So it's a very, very important day. The day when we struggle with Amalek has in itself a precious drachim on two very important kochos and nefesh in a person. The first thing is the need of understanding that when you destroy chshivas and kavod, then you've destroyed the person, whether it's himself personally, whether the person who's kind of elates and he knocks everything and everybody and anything. You want to ask sometimes, there are people that are very good at knocking everything. You know, and a lot of times they develop a special skill at finding Achilles' heels. You always want to ask, so, you know, when you are knocking him, what is it about you that you do? You'll say, I'm nobody, but him, you know, he's an idiot. Him, he's a fool. Him, he's a that. It's only worth considering if he has what to show as alternative. So then we say, okay, but that type of Litzonis personality in a certain sense is most dangerous. Someone told me fascinating insight from Rav Solomon. Rav Matzel Solomon is the Mashgiach in Lakewood, and I think the person told me not. You know, it's off the record, so it'll stay off the record. We'll say it off the record that if he had two buttons to push. One would destroy all pornography on the internet. One would destroy all cynicism. He would take the second one in a moment. Because pornography, a person knows it's wrong. It appeals to his most base instincts. It's contained. Cynicism supposedly appeals to the person's das and the seichel. And what it does is it destroys any ability of regarding something good enough to look up to, and so on and so forth. On the other hand, for difficult situations, an ease, when a person has a sense of humor about yourself, about your problems, about your issues, it's very important, because what it does is it says, you know, it's not the end of the world. Those things that should not be the end of the world need a dose of humor to make like that. The person's own self, he needs to take himself with a few grains of salt. But again, those type of litzanis, and when a person teaches a child whether baseball is an avodah zarah, to be able to become a sport, not an avodah zarah. You know, to take his place. If a person does it gently, you know, with a grain of humor, it's much better than an argument, because it's sort of. It deflates. It's like a balloon. That's a balloon. You don't need to charge at. Charging, punching a balloon doesn't always get the effect. Pricking it with a little needle usually gets the effect. We should be zocher Purim, even though halachically mitzad yontiv, there isn't that much as a suda. There's mishloach manas, but mitzad the panimius of Purim, the fact that it came, it marked a victory against Amalek. That touched on a very deep root in Klal Yisrael. We should be zocha to be people who value the right things, with that we're mahalal the things that we have a koch ahil, and that we learn how to sort of deflate the things that appear to be chasha but really have much shivas. A fair
for
the
I mean, you're the same
person? Yeah, this is. I was the one to say. What? No, I'm not.